Blog Talk Radio.
Stop right now and count your blessings. There has to be one thing that you can appreciate on this Thanksgiving Day, despite your circumstances, the mishap you avoided, the parking space that you found out of nowhere, the unexpected check that found its way into your mailbox, the health scare that turned out to just be that, a scare, the difficult relationship that turned the corner on you. You have at least one good thing that you could appreciate on this Thanksgiving Day, and I want you and all of us to really think about all of the wonderful things that we really count our blessings for instead of taking for granted. Today's show, we're really going to explore the wonderful ways that Thanksgiving symbolizes the appreciation, gratitude, and countless blessings we all have. Want to forget about all the shopping that you're going to do at the stroke of midnight and as we descend on the stores and the endless merchandising of the Christmas season. This show is going to trace the roots of Thanksgiving back before the pilgrims survived that fateful first winter, thanks to the ingenious survival skills of the Native Americans, America's first people. We also want to say Happy Hanukkah, the second day of Hanukkah, to our Jewish friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. You know, I thought about canceling this show. I'm going out a little bit later on with my daughter and her fiance to dinner over a friend's house. We're going to have a great time. My other daughter in Connecticut is enjoying her family, and they're cooking a dinner. My brother and sister-in-law in Detroit are having friends over. So this is really a family and friends gathering day, all around food, obviously. But I said, no, I am grateful just to be breathing. I'm grateful to be here, and I wanted to show and pay tribute to all the things, good things that have happened to me in my life, and just take you on a little journey about Thanksgiving and let you see what's taking place and how it really all came about. If you're listening live, happy Thanksgiving to you, to my Jewish friends around the world. This is the second day of Hanukkah. For me, Hanukkah is a little early this year, but it's all based on the lunar calendar, and if you remember that, even Ramadan came this summer. Typically, Ramadan takes place in the fall, but it came early because of the lunar calendar. And because of the dates of these very ancient calendars, Hanukkah is also taking place now. This is the second day. It's called the Festival of Lights, and Hanukkah will go on for the next several days. And just to give you a little background about Hanukkah, the festival is observed by the kindling of the lights of a unique candelabra. It's a 9-branch menorah, one additional light on each night of the holiday, progressing to 8 on the final night. The typical menorah consists of 8 branches with an additional raised branch. And this holiday of the Festival of Lights, or the Festival of Dedication, is an 8-day Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Maccabean revolt against the empire of the second century BCE, which is before the Common Era. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights and days, starting on the 25th day of Kislev, according to the Hebrew calendar, which may occur at any time from late November to late December in the Gregorian calendar. So again, it just floats. It just depends on the day, obviously, lunar conditions, et cetera. But we say Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends. I know that there are higher holidays in the Jewish calendar. Certainly Yom Kippur is much more somber and revered in the calendar, in the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah as well, but Hanukkah is a very festive time of year that typically coincides with Christmas, but now it coincides with Thanksgiving. So wherever you happen to be, we hope that you will continue to enjoy these 8 days that you are upon, and we hope this will be a day of reflection for you as well. Well, the origins of Thanksgiving predate the Pilgrims landing in Massachusetts, and now what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts, or those colonists coming over from England who landed in Jamestown, Virginia. It really predates that. It really is hinged on harvest seasons, wherever the harvest took place in Europe and other parts of the world, and the thankfulness that the farmers had, that they actually had food that they could eat for the coming season, the winter season. So that's really the origin. I went back to Wikipedia, looked at census.gov, and found that Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday celebrated primarily in the United States and Canada as a day of giving thanks for the blessing of the harvest and the end of the preceding year. And several other places around the world celebrate Thanksgiving. It is celebrated now on the fourth Thursday of November in the United States and the second Monday of October in Canada. True story, several years ago, I was working and doing some training in Canada. I think I was in Newfoundland. I was in Newfoundland, Quarter Brook, Newfoundland, way, way up in Canada. And I bounced off the airplane, checked into my hotel, thought I was going to be able to do some shopping before I prepared for the workshop that I had the next day. Looked around, saw everything was closed. It was that Monday in October, and it was, in fact, Thanksgiving. So I always know that Thanksgiving in Canada takes place in October and not in November, just because of my experience those many years ago when everything was shut down flat, because this was their way of celebrating, paying tribute to Thanksgiving. When I look at census.gov and look more specifically at the United States, it says in the fall of 1621, the Pilgrims, early settlers of Plymouth County, colony, held a three-day feast to celebrate a bountiful harvest, an event many regard as the nation's first Thanksgiving. The Wampanoag, those are the Native American people here in the Massachusetts area, were in attendance. They also played a key role, a lead role. They certainly did, because they helped the settlers to stay alive that winter. And historians have recorded ceremonies of thanks among other groups of European settlers in North America, including British colonists in Virginia in 1619. I'm sure in St. Augustine they had some kind of Thanksgiving tribute. That St. Augustine, Florida, where it was Spanish, it was settled by the Spanish, and I'm sure just with all the warfare that was taking place, they were also paying tribute. So again, this is not just germane to Plymouth, Massachusetts. It is a holiday that sort of evolved and took on its own meaning in different parts of what we now call the United States. This is also the 150th year that we have officially celebrated the Day of Thanksgiving. On October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln, it was a busy year for him with a raging war going on, the Emancipation Proclamation having been signed and enacted, and he still found time to proclaim the last Thursday of November as the National Day of Thanksgiving. Much later on, President Franklin Roosevelt clarified that Thanksgiving should always be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of the month. And why? Because he wanted to encourage holiday shopping, never on the occasional fifth Thursday. So merchandising has crept its way into this wonderful holiday. I want to play for you very quickly. This is a great piece I picked up from Huffington Post and mental-floss.com is the website. I believe that's the name of the website where you could get this. But anyway, it gives you 25 facts about Thanksgiving that you may not have known about. So stay tuned, sit back, enjoy your turkey wherever you are, and listen to this pretty interesting piece about Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm John Green. Welcome to my salon. This is Mental Floss on YouTube. And did you know that pilgrims did not actually wear buckled hats? I know, your whole life is a lie. Buckles didn't even become fashionable until the 18th century. And that is the first of many little-known facts about Thanksgiving that I'll be sharing with you today. I'll let you recover from the buckle thing during the intro. Thanksgiving didn't have religious origins, so it actually is a great way to kick off your war on Christmas. And sadly, not the kind of harvest festival that features Lil Sebastian. Anyone? Parks and Rec? No? Just me? All right. This confusion usually comes from a failure to distinguish between pilgrims and Puritans. Both celebrated Thanksgiving on the North American continent, but pilgrims refers to any original settlers of Plymouth, whereas Puritans were what your English teacher kept trying to tell you about when you were studying the Scarlet Letter. For a better understanding of that distinction, look, I made you a crash course video. But of course, harvest festivals predated European colonists arriving in America, meaning that Thanksgiving didn't really originate in America. Plus, there was more than one First Thanksgiving. These celebrations that colonists brought over from Europe probably took place all over America, or at least the East Coast, at different times with different people. We do generally trace Thanksgiving back, though, to a 1621 three-day festival celebrated by the Pilgrims, who maybe, possibly, depending on who you ask, also invited some Wampanoag Indians to join. So not only did the Pilgrims not wear buckles, they also probably were not wearing black and white, especially considering that black fabric was extremely expensive at the time. Also, the American Indians were not wearing loincloths. I mean, if you've been to New England in November, you'll note that it's cold. And while we're dispelling myths, here are some items that you probably wouldn't have seen at one of these harvest festivals back in the 1600s. Turkey, pumpkin pie, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce. They probably had goose or duck instead of turkey. The meals might have even included swans or passenger pigeons, and also seafood. There also was probably nuts and corn and pumpkin, but no pumpkin pies. So this year, I challenge you to celebrate like real pilgrims and share a lovely meal of passenger pigeon with your family on Thanksgiving. What's that, Mark? They're extinct? Oh, that's too bad. Eh, whatever, a regular pigeon will do too. As for logistics, forks had not yet been invented, so the only silverware that could have been found at the meal were knives and spoons. Here at Mental Floss, we're all about educating, so I am now going to do a historically accurate demonstration of what the pilgrims looked like at their harvest festivals. Because I'm a scientist, I shall now demonstrate how to eat bread with only a spoon and a knife. No wonder they were so hungry. Mmm. Delicious. For a long time, a misconception has persisted that Native Americans taught pilgrims about popcorn and even brought it to the first Thanksgiving. But sadly, that is untrue, which explains why they were eating passenger pigeon. So why do we celebrate this functionally random festival that didn't even involve loincloths? Well, we have Sarah Josepha Hale of New Hampshire to thank for that. She was a magazine editor who spent 17 years of her life campaigning for a nationally recognized Thanksgiving. The campaigning included writing letters to at least 5 presidents, including Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, and finally Abraham Lincoln. It was Lincoln who made Thanksgiving an official national holiday in 1863. I assume Franklin Pierce could have done it too, but he was too busy running people over with his horse. Side note, I'd just like to point out that Abraham Lincoln created an entire holiday because someone requested it via letter, but Bill Clinton couldn't even answer my email about Sox the Cat. So thanks, Abraham Lincoln, and also Abraham Lincoln. Anyway, if you're not already grateful to Sarah Josepha Hall for giving us all a day off of school and work, she is also awesome because she wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. Back to presidents. Before Thanksgiving became a national holiday and was merely celebrated by some Americans, Thomas Jefferson called it, quote, the most ridiculous idea. And FDR tried to move Thanksgiving 1 week earlier in 1939 in order to quicken the post-Thanksgiving holiday shopping because of the Depression. Then, to prevent this from ever happening again, in 1941, Congress officially declared Thanksgiving as the fourth Thursday in November. Ah, Congress in 1941, back when you could do things. Now, of course, we can't have an episode about Thanksgiving without talking a little bit about turkey. You probably already know that turkey and or tryptophan is not actually responsible for your post-meal sleepiness. For more on that, check out Dr. Aaron Carroll discussing this very topic. No, you're tired because you've been drinking wine all day to deal with your family, and also because you do not want to continue to listen to your great uncle talking your ear off about the NSA. Right, but a couple stats about Thanksgiving turkey. Minnesota is the state that produces the most turkeys. In 2012, 46 million turkeys were eaten on Thanksgiving, which is 736 million pounds of turkey. Those statistics, by the way, come from the National Turkey Federation, which is apparently a thing. I mean, does every animal have a national federation? Because my campaign starts now to get on the board of the National Pig Federation. What's that? Did I say the word pig?
Time to put a quarter in the staff pork chop party fund.
Football on Thanksgiving has been played since 1876, when Yale played Princeton. But the tradition continued with the NFL's first season in 1920, when six different games were played on Thanksgiving Day. But of course, the Detroit Lions are most typically associated with Thanksgiving games. In 1934, G.A. Richards bought the Lions and scheduled a Thanksgiving game against the Bears. The only time the Lions have failed to play on the holiday since was during World War II. There's actually a Thanksgiving parade that's older than the one run by Macy's. 1920 saw the first annual Thanksgiving parade in Philadelphia. It was previously known as the Gimbel's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but it now has a much less commercial name. The 6ABC Dunkin' Donuts Thanksgiving Day Parade. 4 years after Philadelphia's first parade, in 1924, came the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which featured animals from the Central Park Zoo and no balloons.
Which, of course, left out this guy, who is both a balloon and an animal.
The animals included elephants, camels, and lions, presumably so people who attended the parade could say at dinner later that day, "Well, I'm thankful I didn't get eaten by that lion who was 5 feet away from me." This tradition lasted for 3 whole years, until 1927, when the animals were left alone and Felix the Cat became the first ever Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloon. In the early days, the balloons were actually released at the end of the parade so that they could float around for a while. Of course, they don't do this anymore, which is why you rarely see an 80-foot-tall Kermit the Frog flying over New Jersey. By the way, the Macy's parade did not occur during World War II. It was canceled, and the rubber from the balloons was given to help the war effort. Thanks for watching Mental Floss here on YouTube, which...
Well, those are very quickly done, 25 quick facts, I thought pretty amusingly done as well. There is a video that goes with this. We just converted it to an MP3 file. But again, it sort of corresponds to what I was talking about earlier, the first known Thanksgiving that we know of here in the United States in the fall of 1621, and obviously turkey was probably not served there. They had other meats that were served, and certainly if you're talking about Virginia with so much shellfish around, if you ever go to the Virginia settlement, the early settlement that they now have as a museum, you'll see all of the shells on the ground, and it's quite an amazing place to go to, and you wonder, and this fact I do know about Jamestown, is that many of the people who came over from Jamestown, many of the men who came over, first of all, were gentrymen. They were nobility. They had money. They had servants. They brought some of the servants with them. Or, they were people of means. So they came over passage. They had enough money to come over on those ships. They were looking for more riches and more opportunities to expand their wealth, also be loyal to the queen as well as the king. And so they settled in Jamestown, but they did not necessarily know how to farm. They were not farmers. They were nobility. They didn't have those skill sets. So it was really, again, the native people in the Jamestown, Virginia area who kept them alive. It was a very rough first winter, along with the area up in Massachusetts. But because they didn't have the skill set to get things done in a way that would keep them surviving, they didn't really know how to fish properly and keep that fish stored in Jamestown, a lot of people died. So when they found those skills and those who did survive that first winter, this was a very thankful time. So, yeah, you're not going to find the traditional turkey that we now have. You'll have other kind of meats, other kind of products that were growing in those local areas, and certainly the dress and decor in Virginia, very, very different than dress and decor in late fall, not quite early winter in Massachusetts. So all those kind of things I think are quite interesting. But I also think it's also interesting that this holiday is celebrated in different parts of the world. In Liberia, West Africa, which began in 1820 when freed black people went back to Liberia, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the first Thursday of November. In the Netherlands, many of the pilgrims who migrated to Plymouth Plantation had resided in the city of Leiden from 1609 to 1620, many of whom had recorded their births, their marriages, and their deaths in Pitra skirt. I may be mispronouncing that in the Netherlands, but to commemorate this non-denominational Thanksgiving Day service, there's a non-denominational Thanksgiving Day service that's held each year on the morning of the American Thanksgiving Day in this town in the Netherlands in a Gothic church in Leiden to commemorate the hospitality of the pilgrims received in Leiden on their way to the New World. So they stopped over and they, you know, got themselves prepared. Well, actually, that was a stopover place for quite a long time, for 11 years. But, again, that's an important connection there. In Norfolk Island, in the Australian external territory of the Norfolk Island, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the last Wednesday of November, similar to the pre-World War II American observance on the last Thursday of the month. This means the Norfolk Island observance is the day before or 6 days after the United States observance, and the holiday was brought to the island by visiting American whaling ships, clearly in the 1700s up to the middle 1800s. Grenada, Germany, and Japan also have some version of Thanksgiving. But again, when you look back at harvest and farmers from agrarian cultures all over the world giving thanks for having food to eat and bringing them through the previous year, 1, 2, 3, you put 2 and 2 together and you have some version of Thanksgiving. But I think the important thing is just to remember that we really all have something to be thankful for. And in keeping with that, I want to play another wonderful song that's sung by Johnny Cash. This was done several years ago. And he talks about the importance of Thanksgiving from his perspective. So enjoy this Johnny Cash narration and song.
Thanksgiving is the day that we're reminded to be thankful for the things that we've got. Though it may seem like little, sometimes we've always got something to be thankful for. I'd like to tell you a story about a man that I think has a lot to be thankful for. On Thanksgiving Day, a family sat down to have their meal. There was very little on the table, a few things from the field. No turkey, fancy dressing, some bread and a little beans. For the crops had been a failure, and the times were pretty lean. The father bowed his head. It was their habit to say grace. And a calmness came over his lined and wrinkled face. Dear Lord, he said, we thank you, for the sun was warm today. And we thank you for the singing of the birds and the laughing of the children as they played. And thank you for that neighbor of mine that fixed my plow. And thank you for that old plow horse. We sure could use a cow. Thank you for the muscle. I can stand the ache. Just let me have your blessing on all I undertake. And I thank you for this country, too. We've troubles now and pain, but with your help, Lord, we'll get back to where the road is smooth again. And thanks for all the love we've got and the strength to work my land. For there's nothing, Lord, that I can't do if you lend a helping hand. Thank you for my good wife, Lord, and the children that I've got. They love me for the things that I am, and they forget the things I'm not. And if somebody's down and out, Lord, and they're praying you would heed, just send them over to see me, Lord. I got more than I need. Day I worked so hard, my feet was aching. I never stopped griping about a little bit of money I was making. On my way home, passed a man, and he was smiling, and he was crippled. Lord, forgive me when a while the world is mine and I'm doing fine. I just want to say I thank you for the food I eat, and I thank you, Lord, for the place I sleep, and I thank you for my coat that keeps me warm. Yes, and my feet that take me where I want to go, and my eyes that see the sunset's glow, and my ears that hear what they would know. I thank you, Lord, the world is mine and I'm doing fine. Yes, the world is mine and I'm doing fine. But some folks never seem to get happy. Is it just because if they're so busy getting mad, never taking time to be thankful or lend a helping hand to a fellow man? Oh Lord, his heart is filled with hate and his mind is planted on the sinking sand. I just want to say I thank you. That keeps me warm. Yes, and my feet that take me where I want to go, and my eyes that see your sunset glow, and my ears that hear what they would know. I thank you, Lord, the world is mine and I'm doing fine. Just want to tell you that the world is mine, Lord. And I'm doing fine.
So just a reminder, no matter what your circumstances, I have some friends right now who are pretty sick in the hospital or getting treatment for various ailments. Other people who are in various financial straits or relationship troubles and lots of issues. But I'm thankful for friendship, and I'm thankful for corners being turned, and I am definitely thankful for my family and my daughters and the memory of my son and my grandchildren and my son-in-law and son-in-law-to-be, and the fact that I am able to earn an income and have been doing so for almost 27 years as an entrepreneur. I'm thankful for an awful lot. I'm thankful for this car that I'm looking at right now that's in my driveway of my home that I've had for some 8 years or so that has 321,000 miles on it. It is pretty well served, but it still cranks up and takes me where I have to go. I have a lot to be thankful for. So again, regardless of your circumstances, and we all have them, I hope that you will just take at least a minute today and that you will think of one thing that you can be thankful for, that you can look around you and that you can extend that thanks to other people, and that you can somehow quietly thank those who have helped you in the past and those who pray for you and those who encourage you and those who support you and give you the right kind of guidance, even those who give you strong medicine when you don't want to hear the truth. We say thank you to all of those set of circumstances, and I hope that you will continue to enjoy this weekend. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care.